today our children are grown, and Sarah now travels with me in the ministry. What the Lord is doing through our love and respect ministry blesses us beyond what we deserve. As empty nesters, we can enjoy the season without compromising care to our children or risking the sexual temptations that confront those who travel alone. Sarah and I are glad we waited to travel together. You know, Paul addresses this concern in 1 Corinthians 9:5 when he asks, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" You see, because the wives and apostles Paul refers to in this passage did not have children at home, they were therefore free to travel together. I believe young pastors would do well to remember this. We have lost common sense today. But you might argue, you don't have to travel to face sexual temptation. What about the internet? You are right to assume this is the easiest way to fall prey to sexual immorality. I tell people that everything we do on the internet is being stored somewhere. There is a digital footprint of our activity. For this reason, a person must not foolishly conclude they can stay in the dark on this. And even if one can stay in the dark, God sees all. One forfeits God's joyful presence, empowering hand, and personal leading. And the question that raises is this: is it worth it? Each person must do whatever is necessary to stay in the light. God expects this. And as we have stated, observed behavior changes. The inverse is also true. Unobserved addictions remain until they are exposed. That what they thought was a well-kept secret is now out in the open to their utter humiliation. However, when something is brought into the light, the pull of that temptation subsides. I knew that God could do great things through those who kept sexually pure, and I heard him saying to me what I share with many men and women on this topic: you are going to the mat on this sex issue, and no holds barred. You must cry uncle, giving in, giving up, and giving way to me. As a man of honor, honor me now, and watch what is about to happen. Let me close by saying that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help me out of the temptation of sexual sin, and he will help you too. What comfort and hope that brings. God promises, no temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Talk about personal attention. When I want out of temptation, God will help me find a way. Almighty God will enter my situation and point to an exit sign. If only each of us could see all the ways God has protected us during our temptations. Sometimes I envision standing before the Lord and having him replay the dramatic ways of escape he provided for me. I wanted his power in ministry, his wisdom during trials, his leading concerning new opportunities, his guidance concerning marriage, and the list goes on. But in the end, he will say, "Emerson, I understand all of these things, but where I showed up most often was during your temptations. Thank you, Lord." Final word: ask the helper for help. Though God commands us to believe, abstain, give thanks, and submit, BAGS, BAGS, our acronym, our inner posture can be dependent on him as we pray, "Lord, you know my heart. I need help to trust you when you seem silent. Walk in moral purity when temptations are real. Give thanks when I'm angry at what happened. And submit in doing right when it feels too demanding and unfair." You see, you and I need God's help in following these four universal wills, and he expects us to realize that's okay. This is why God sent us his Holy Spirit, and he refers to him as the helper. He is the helper because I need help. An obvious point like this must not escape our notice. It must comfort our hearts. What a joy to read passages like these, Hebrews 4:16. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 13:6, "So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Concerning believing in Jesus Christ, who among us has not wondered if we have enough faith to trust the Lord when life circumstances overwhelm us? Will we shut down and stop believing? Or will we echo the man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That has been my prayer on many occasions, and it is a sacred thing to ask for help from the Helper and our loving Lord. The apostles themselves said to the Lord, "Increase our faith," Luke 17:5. Concerning giving thanks in everything, who among us always wants to give thanks in the midst of trials? None of us. Consequently, there come these moments when we can give voice to God about our desire for Him to help us in such a way that we are motivated to give thanks. A prayer of the Israelites was, "Save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us to give thanks to your holy name." 1 Chronicles 16:35 and Psalm 106:47. In other words, it is okay to parrot from the heart this petition, Psalm 142:7, "Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name." We can humbly ask God to orchestrate life events in such a way that it frees us up to give thanks. Psalm 42:5 says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." We must anticipate his helpful presence and let that ignite the giving of thanks. Another helpful prayer is, "God, sustain me with a willing spirit to give thanks." Psalm 51:12. Romans 8:7 states, "The carnal mind does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." Our sinful nature rebels against any kind of submission when it counters our self-serving desires and goals. So, concerning submitting and doing right, who among us wants to defer to those in authority over us who are requiring us to do appropriate tasks when we prefer not to do these assignments? During such requests, the cry of our heart must be, "Jesus, everything in me wants to rebel against this boss making me do something I don't want to do, particularly when I feel it is unfair to me. But because this request is not evil, help me to be deferential. Help me to serve as you serve. Help me to realize that this is part of the molding process within my own soul so that I learn better to submit to you. O Holy Spirit, help me to submit. Help me counter my carnal nature that can so quickly turn ugly." Concerning abstaining from sexual sin, who among us does not experience temptations? Jesus himself was tempted and had to deal with these temptations. None of us will escape these enticements that come from within and without. I find myself often praying a portion of the Lord's Prayer, "O God, through Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this evil." Temptation can be a daily thing. I wish this weren't true, but it is. We live in a fallen world, and the devil is real, and so is our flesh. Daily we need God's help. Ultimately, we must acknowledge our weaknesses and accept the reality of temptation, and that we must struggle in keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Some think that because the struggle is constant, that the Christian life doesn't work for them, and that God has no intentions of helping them. That's untrue. What is true is that the struggle is always greater than we desire, yet it is never so great that we cannot eventually triumph over these temptations. The Word of God always promises a way of escape if we want to exit that hallway, 1 Corinthians 10:13. In all these situations, we must never let defeat defeat us. We must get back up in the ring of life. We must stay in the fight. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to help us. We must continue to turn to God for help, and that's okay to do. Thank you for listening to this recording of The Four Wills of God, written and read by me, Emerson Eggerich. This audio recording was produced in 2018 by Christian Audio, which owns the copyright. No portion of this recording may be reproduced for any reason without prior written consent from Christian Audio. This edition, issued by contractual arrangement with B&H Publishing Group, originally published in English as The Four Wills of God, The Way He Directs Our Steps and Frees Us to Direct Our Own. Copyright 2018 by Emerson Eggerich. All rights reserved. Please visit christianaudio.com, facebook.com/christianaudio, or twitter.com/christianaudio to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.